they teach, it's called, the name is a big name, but it's called homiletics, which simply means how to prepare a message and how to deliver the message. You may say, okay, I don't do either of them, so I can get up and walk. No. This is a principle that basically applicable wherever you are. If in your workplace, if you are making a presentation, if you are talking to your fellow workers, if you are in the Sunday school class, in the youth group, in you name them, wherever you are communicating to someone, there are some fundamental basic principles that are applied. But of course, in our case, it will be how to speak, to prepare and deliver a message. I think most of us here in this room, including myself, can improve how to deliver part. The preparation part we'll basically touch upon. There's a bunch of slides I am skipping because when I go to Bible schools, I start from first, very beginning on, I'm only going to go two particular subjects of that very, very basic fundamentals, you know, almost talking from experience of some of the things. So I'm going to draw the example for this is the Lord himself. You know, the world does, I'm talking now on the corporate level, in your workplaces, companies and hospitals and wherever you work, world does a lot of things and principles in many things. If you go back to the scripture, you can see those principles right there in the scriptures. God's people, the Lord, the apostles and various people have used certain principles. The world has copied that and they are using it. Well, I may have touched upon it maybe a week or 2 years ago. Something, you know, when there is a problem comes, the world uses something called a fish diagram or root cause analysis. Where that come from? It comes right from the scriptures. The Lord himself used that principle. So I'm just drawing that example of the homiletics, very fundamental basics of homiletics from the Lord himself as an example. So two things within the next 32 minutes we have in front of us I want to cover is how to prepare a sermon or a message or a Sunday school lesson or whatever that you are doing, how do I prepare it? Or you are talking to the ladies meeting or you name them, anything that you do has preparations there. How do I prepare that? How do I get to the point until the moment of delivering the message which is given to us? It is good for all of us, especially the delivering the message part. It has helped me basically. I'm still learning, of course. I don't try to evaluate me based on what I'm going to tell you. Okay, so what is Christ-centered preaching? When we talk about the Christ-centered preaching, what are we talking about? There is a wrong notion sometimes that we read here very commonly from people is, do not be carried away by the often repeated statement, and this is what the statement says, preach with your deeds and not your words. That is not true in the Christendom, I mean in our church setup. Well, you should do both. You should preach by your deeds, I am not against it, but that is not how you communicate. You do use words to communicate. And that is how we teach in the everywhere. I mean, wherever the Lord put you in responsibilities of your life, not only within the church, what I'm trying to say is it is applicable wherever you are. But think within the setup of an assembly here. You feel, if you are a passionate person to preach the word of God, do it without hesitation. If the Lord calls you, and gives you a burden to share the word of God or teach the word of God or preach, don't hesitate because it comes from the Lord. That passion is only coming from the Lord. Well, of course, it is possible some people can have a selfish motive for doing certain things, but I'm not talking about that. A passion to preach, please don't hesitate. When I have myself experienced, I have said it myself, when somebody come and ask me, can you take so-and-so ministry? I said, oh, you know what? Let brother so-and-so do it. If the Lord wants you to do it, if you're passionate about it, do it and don't hesitate. The church today is really badly in need of anointed, passionate preachers. Our brother Alex Kurian basically has said it many times here from the pulpit in his own teachings. So for that purpose this morning, I'm going to be concentrating two parts: how to prepare a sermon, how to deliver it. But I'll be probably spending a lot of time how to deliver part, because that is where all of us fail sometime here in this auditorium, in this meeting. I'm going to want you to please help me, someone, chapter 4 of Luke, verse 1 and 2. Luke chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. We are going to draw an example from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Okay? First of all, for the preparation part. Luke chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Somebody, if you have, especially the New King James Version, I want you to get up and read loudly so everybody in this room can hear. Yes, you know the story. The Lord Jesus, before he started his ministry, he was in the wilderness for 40 days. My question that I put there is, what was the Lord doing there for 40 days? Any idea? Come on, I want you to talk to me. He was praying. He was preaching, fasting. Anything else? You hit the nail there, a couple of you. The Lord was preparing for the ministry that is ahead of him for 3.5 years. For how long? One night? For almost 40 days. If the Lord Jesus had to prepare himself for the ministry and thereafter his own sufferings on the cross, he was preparing for 40 long days. Of course, at the end of that, at the 40th day, the devil came and tempted him. I agree. Sometimes if we get carried away and think that is the only reason the Lord was there waiting for the devil. No, he was not. He was fasting and praying and preparing and talking to the Father to understand his will and his purpose, and he's preparing himself for the ministry that he was about to take up. And also, the highest ministry that he was about, at the beginning, he's going to do is to select the disciples. Have an awesome responsibility for him to select the right person, and he was preparing himself. So I'm going to base my idea of preparation on this passage. The Lord Jesus himself, if spent our days in preparation, how much more, what you think you and I should be in preparation for anything that we do in the service of the Lord? Okay, so I want you to think that part of that thought in your mind as we continue. I want you to read another passage. This is the second part, how to deliver the message. I will dwell a little more longer, explain a little bit more. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. Somebody else, I mean, Brother Samuel, if you have it, can you read it loud? This is just before the mountain message, that is chapter 5, 6, and 7, that we dealt with not too long ago here. At the very beginning, what did the Lord do? He went to the mountain, and then what? The next word says, he seated himself, and then he delivered the message. Okay? Hold that thought. The Lord was there. He was about to bring the longest and the most important message in his ministry to the people who are around them. Perhaps at that time, maybe thousands of people were there. Okay, hold that thought. We'll come to that on my second thought. So my basis for today's study or practical suggestions going forward next few minutes is based on these passages. Preparation. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Verse 14 says, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. There are two times the the Holy Spirit is mentioned there. What he was about to do, he didn't do of his own. He was a man, 100%. He didn't do it of his own, but he was totally guided by the Holy Spirit. Whatever he did. And therefore, he spent all that time in preparation and talking with the Father. Anything that is done outside of that, you and I do, in our own strength or knowledge or whatever experience, it will have zero effect if it is not led by the Holy Spirit. The primary reason for Jesus to go to the wilderness was to prepare himself for the next 3 years of his ministry. We just talked about that. Now, here are 10 suggested fundamental practical application how to prepare and deliver. Okay, and there are about a few of them at the very end. Some don't do's, some are do things, and some are don't do things. You know, there is a lot of mistakes that we all make. Okay, we'll touch upon that. I was watching you this morning, Thomas. No, just kidding. Are you going to preach for a special occasion like a gospel meeting, youth, children, assembly, as a whole, funeral, wedding? What is the occasion that you are going to preach? Somebody is going to come and ask you, can you take a ministry? Question number one, what is the occasion? Question number two, what is the audience? Question number three, how much time I have? Those are the fundamental questions you should ask whoever comes to you and say, take a ministry for whether it is youth, children, doesn't matter, wherever you are. These are the fundamentals you have to know, that you know the audience and the occasion for which you are ministering and the time that you have. My time is running very fast. A few years ago, I was in a conference. A brother whom I have great respect, he's a man of God who is recognized publicly by many people. I won't give you the name. Half of you know him, so I won't give name. He got up at the worship meeting. Took a Bible study, how to worship for 25 minutes. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with the Bible study? Eh? Too long, one. Anything else? Eh? Wrong place and wrong timing. I guess he didn't take it, nobody gave him time to preach, so he took that opportunity or the open time and started preaching for 25 minutes. I'm not joking. I saw at the end of that meeting, I felt I should get up and say, brethren, let us go back to worship now. I didn't, but that was my thought. Wrong message, too long, at the wrong time. Have you come across somebody like that, some occasion like that? I'm sure many of you, I see some head shaking. I'm not the only one. Yeah? Many, not one. So what am I trying to say? You have to know the occasion. You have to know the time. In the morning, we have 45 minutes here. If I get up and speak for 15 minutes, what is left? 30 minutes for the entire congregation. So we always tell the elders, normally say, make it 2 to 3 minutes, make it short but clear. That is more applicable to worship, our hearts to be lifted up to worship the Lord. So occasion, how long? Of course, you can ask the audience too, because in the audience, there may be saved and unsaved people. So there are three fundamentals you should ask. An understanding of your audience and the occasion is a must-have. If you wish to be of any service to the congregation as a preacher, whatever message that you are going to preach or teach, if you don't know the audience and if you don't know the occasion, whatever you can preach, although there is nothing wrong in the message in itself, like I just mentioned, gave you the example, it will have no effect. It will only distract and do damage. Besides doing this, would be of great help to you in determining the theme of the sermon. Okay, somebody comes to me and says, George, can you take a ministry for 30 minutes? Now, how do I select the theme? What do I preach from? This decision that what kind of meeting am I going to preach, that immediately narrows my theme and the subject that I have to preach. If somebody asks me to preach in a wedding, I cannot go pick up a sermon based from the Philippians about the second coming of Christ. Well, you could somehow relate to that some points, but you get the point. You have to know the theme. How do you select your theme? Based on the where you're going to preach it. Okay? I'm going to go a little faster here. Attesting every single point of your sermon with a Bible verse is something which is deserves utmost significance. If at all possible, if you have 5 points to preach, try to bring at least a Bible verse selected to that, because then you are basing your presentation or the message on the scriptures and not your ideas. And I understand the practical difficulty. Sometimes you may not be able to do 100% on that. I don't do it myself sometimes. But a biblical principle of attaching the scriptures as much as possible to bring the points. And preparing it well in advance would make you feel more confident. Sometimes this you may not have a control on it, how much time I get. Like Brother Thomas, I gave him 5 days, or Monday or Tuesday, I called him. I said, hey, you're going to take it, because I didn't want to do both today. Well, it doesn't matter, as much as time you get, the more advanced notification that you get, it will give you enough time to prepare. This would also ensure an uninterrupted flow, facilitating the smooth transition from one point to another while preaching. If you have enough time to prepare and pray and prepare again and review again and prepare and pray and review again, by the time you're done and you're ready, it will be an easy flow from in your presentation. Use available resources. Some years ago, there was a brother in our midst who said he was so much against it. He was so much against commentaries. He said, brother, don't read commentaries. And if I ever mention about commentaries, he'd get upset. He was so much against it. But I'm not against commentaries. There are a lot of good commentaries and good godly men who have studied. I refer to it all the time. But that is not all what we do. Use resources, all kinds of books, I shouldn't say all kinds of books, books that are available to the theme that you are going to choose. Use resources, commentaries, books. You heard a message from somebody else on that subject, notes that you may have written down in your book. Bring them all together and read your fundamental passage, and using the resources, and then put the message together. Now, while you are preparing, please don't talk too much about yourself. I'll give you another example. Not too long ago, we asked a brother to preach. 45 minutes, no joking, he preached about himself. 45 minutes. At the end, people came to me and said, brother, why did you ask him to preach? Don't preach about yourself. Well, I'll give you a little more explanation as we go on. While preparing to preach, you are advised to stay away from writing a complete manuscript of the sermon. Well, what does that mean? I can sit home, use my laptop, and type up a 5-page sermon, and come here and use my... I'm going to do a little practical here. Introduction and opening prayer, praise and worship, Bible message, prayer request and closing prayer. For further information, please contact George B. John, church member, George Sam. You don't bring a written message and read from the pulpit. You don't. You know what happens? You can read all for 45 minutes. You know what will happen? Anybody has any idea? Nobody will listen. Believe me, I, as an audience, immediately start reading about 2-3 minutes into the message, everybody tune you off, go on. They'll be looking at you. You may be thinking, wow, they are all enjoying it. No, they are not going to pay any attention. Any completely written manuscript and completely reading of messages. Practicing it several times would imprint the same on your mind. So the preparation part is you have to, some people even go to a room and close the door and preach themselves to get a practice. Do if that is necessary for you. But practicing and reading and studying, going back about 20 times if you can, improving it, changing it. I do messages when I do, I have all these points, I go back and change it on red color, and then I have to change it with the green color, then finalize it, some point, come to the final conclusion. But do it several times, and while doing this, what's happening? It is already stuck in your mind. And therefore, it comes very easy for your presentation. Again, this application is not simply here on the pulpit. Anywhere you do presentations in your own workplaces, if you are an engineer or a mass or a manager, you may have to do presentations. There is an audience of people listening to you, and you have to be thorough in what you're saying. So preparation is important there also. And this would come out as a flow of words that you stand behind the pulpit. Know that no one is going to listen to a mechanical reading of a written message. Yeah, they will listen, but it will not go through. Just prepare a draft so as to help you memorize the focal points. A message prepared and studied and meditated and expounded on the passage of the scripture, and then take points as you go. Sometimes I am driving. I know I am preaching next Sunday morning here. I may be driving or I may be sitting doing something. Immediately the Lord brings me some thought about this message about to preach. I'll just write it down on a piece of paper. Then I put all those papers together or bring it together. Sometimes you may hear a message, somebody preaching, I immediately, oh yeah, he's preaching about I am going to preach. So I take some notes from him. Sometimes I am reading a book or a commentary, looking at a commentary, then there are thoughts on that passage, I write it down. So bring those notes together and then put it together and have a basic focal points written down and not the entire message. Whatever is the form, how to write a sermon is something you should not ignore at any cost. If I am going to preach about forgiveness, those three verses, I just come here and open the book and read the book with no notes or no preparation. You know, I may say something, but it won't be what the Lord wants me to do. And here is another important thing. Whatever you do, whatever presentations you do, whatever teaching you do, whatever preaching you do, give your 100% when you do it. You know, sometimes I sit there and listen to people I feel pity on him and say, why is he up there? He's not ready. He's not preparing. I know. Most people know immediately that you are not prepared. You know, give your 100% when you preach, because it is God's word. Especially if you are doing off the pulpit, you have to do it with power and authority. Repeatedly, the entire scripture says, "Thus saith the Lord," and that kind of authority should be based where when you do what you are asked to do. When you are started preaching, it's got to be a natural flow, a message which comes from the bottom of your heart. To some extent, it comes from your head, but it has to be the listener should know this is coming from his heart. He has been preparing and praying and be ready. It's coming out of your heart. Otherwise, immediately the audience knows, especially today's audience, they are very smart people. Most of them are smarter than me. They will immediately realize, hey, this guy is not ready. He has not been reading. He has not been preparing. He's just making up things on the go. This becomes important due to the fact that a congregation is not different from a general audience. What does that mean? If you are in a general audience speaking somewhere in the street or in the church, in Sunday school, it is very important that presentation and the preparation and the giving 100% of yourself to what you are delivering. It is almost the same, whether it's here or outside. That's what it means there. If it fails to see a connection between the speaker and the speech being delivered, it would refuse to listen to it. You know, you can easily turn off the audience within the first 2 minutes, 2 to 3 minutes or 5 minutes. They will try to catch, they try to understand what he is saying. After a few minutes, they are out. They may be still looking at it, some may go to sleep. My pastor was preaching and a fellow was sitting there and sleeping, and he kind of hinted to the next person, please wake him up. You know what he replied? Anybody heard that? No. And the man replied, you put him to sleep, you wake him up. So you can either put people to sleep or just look at you and not even listen. Describe your experiences in life in connection to the points you wish to stress during the sermon. Life experiences are great examples. I said at the beginning, don't preach yourself. But there are life experiences of your own personal experience related to that subject bring it up. They are very effective. People will never forget the message if it is coming out of your personal experience. So testimonies of people, even you hear, why is the testimonies are so valuable? Because it is experience of that person who is giving the testimony. It comes out of the heart. It is talking from them. So anything that you can relate to personal experiences is good. But don't just preach about you. I'm going to go speed up here. This would establish a connection between you and the congregation who is listening. Remember, it is not you who is speaking to the believers or unbelievers. Therefore, the Spirit of God is at work when you are at preaching. So start it with the prayer. Well, sometimes here somebody may pray before the preacher comes. If not, make sure you preach. At least pray. Or if you pray twice, it's okay. Because you are totally depending on the Spirit of God to deliver the message and not your knowledge, understanding, and your experience. You are just sowing the seeds of God's word. If your sermon is not directed by the Holy Spirit, what happens? It says here, come on, you be loud, you can be loud. Nothing will happen. Why so many messages and preaching going on, but nothing happens? Have you ever thought about it? I would say most of them, I shouldn't say most of them, at least many of them are not preached by the power of the Holy Spirit. If it is the power of the Holy Spirit, the word of God says it will do its work. And if it is not, nothing is going to happen if it is not by the Spirit of God. This requires that you should ask God's guidance before beginning to preach. A message preached must be saturated with prayer before, prayer during. When you're doing it, you do it prayerfully. How many of us go home and pray about the message that you preach? I don't do all the time, but sometimes I do. I say, Lord, please continue to speak to the people of God. The prayer should not be stopped after you deliver the message. Before, during, and after must be prayed. It should be saturated by prayer. While preaching, the Lord may give you additional thoughts. Make sure it is tuned with the message. Now I am preaching about second coming, and the Lord may give me an additional thought just outside of my frame that I came up with. Go ahead. Just divert a little bit. But make sure you always come back to your message. Some people have a problem. They come with a message. They have an additional thought here, and they go away from the main theme and never come back to the theme they started off. And people get lost. Where are we? Are we here? Are we there? Are we, you know, some people may even say, you know, I have a side note here for no charge, but never come back to the message. If you find yourself diverting from the prepared sermon, let it happen, but always return to the message. I don't know, many of you have this experience when you are sharing the word of God somewhere, you come up with your own little thought and prayer and plan, and then suddenly the Lord gives you a different thought in related to that, and then you come back. It happens all the time. It happens to me. I'm sure it happens to every one of us. You never know what the God is planning to achieve through you to the congregation. If you are talking from your heart, the congregation would have no difficulty to follow you. Be mindful of time. When standing behind the pulpit to give you a message, you should be mindful of the time allotted to you. If you are given 45 minutes, prepare a message for 40 minutes. Okay, always prepare 5 minutes less. If it is 20 minutes, prepare something for 15 minutes. Because you, by the time you finish, it will be 20 minutes. There will be an introduction, there will be this, a little bit of this and that, and by the time you finish, it will be 20 minutes. Always prepare 5 minutes less than what you are given to. But if you preach more than 45 minutes to 46, 47, 48, 49, people are looking. The last 5 minutes that you are there, half the audience won't listen because they are looking at the clock at the time. Well, you may say, you know, you go to Africa, I can preach for 3 hours, the people will sit and listen. Well, that's no excuse here. Okay? Some people say that, you know, or go to India, or go to wherever. Some places, people will sit down and listen to you for 3 hours. But they don't get this all the time. They get it once in a while when you are there. So don't take that excuse and preach for more than time given to you. Be mindful of the time allotted to you. Well, I myself may break the rule now. Too long a sermon is sure to lead to boredom. You can also make sure of voice modulation to give the desired effect to the points you wish to stress in the speech. I'm going to take 2 minutes here. All of us fail on this. I watched you, Thomas. You did too. No, I'm not kidding, but I'm not trying to pinpoint here. Sometimes we all have a normal talking voice. All of us do. If you are communicating to an audience, whether it's at the Lord's Supper time, you have to raise that volume a little bit. Because I am sitting there, I can't hear what Amar is saying here. You think I can hear it? I can't. Because you are on your normal volume. Sometimes you are behind the mic and you think the mic will do magic. It won't happen. If you lower your volume than normal, half the audience will not hear. And there is another problem. Sometimes the statement that we are going to make is so crucial, we will swallow the last three words. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Because I wanted to emphasize that He gave His only begotten Son, I just lowered my voice, half the audience didn't hear you. Did that happen to you? Come on, be honest. You didn't understand what the whole statement was made because the last three, four words were swallowed by the preacher himself. So make voice modulation to the effect that others will be able to hear. Sometimes you want to stress a point, raise your volume, no problem. It always happens. If you are natural, it will happen, just like I am doing now. It will come automatically. Illustrations, use appropriate illustrations, examples, and stories. Remember, illustrations are useful only to highlight a particular point, but not a message in itself. Well, let me stop for a second. Have you heard messages of 90% was about one illustration? I heard. Illustrations are good to highlight the message that you have. Don't make the illustration a message itself. Well, people will go home and talk about that story that you just said and totally forget what the scripture was saying. Very interesting stories, very good, but make it short and applicable to what you are preaching. Most today's audience will be turned off when they cannot hear what you are preaching. That is true even this morning. Some of you were too much low voice. You know, our elders have been talking about this. We have these six hanging mics. We tried to connect that to the speaker, but you are talking away from it, so it won't catch it. You know, worship meeting is very important. If I can't hear sitting back in the corner what you are saying here, you are wasting about half the audience time. Please, brothers, this is outside of my message now. Please speak louder. Stand up and read. At least the first few rows when you are preaching to the wall, people in the back are not hearing, listening to you. Turn around. Face the audience. Say it loud. So people can, you are, the Spirit of God has led you to say something. Don't waste people's time. Be loud. Voice the audience. Make it loud and clear. Am I clear on this subject, please? Yes? Otherwise, what's happening? You are wasting the time of half the audience. Now they are thinking, what am I going to eat for lunch after the meeting? Because I can't hear what Sam is saying. I'm not going to say Ray about it, but Sam. Please. You have put the effort and time. The Spirit of God is leading you. Let it be useful for everyone who is in the audience. Make sure they hear you. And I said this many times here from this platform. People don't listen to me. Also, make sure not to be monotonous. Well, this is another problem. People will come to the pulpit. I'm standing here and say, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I am so monotonous in the musical term, I will go to sleep. But if I say the same words, you heard me what I said. If I say, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. What a difference. Same words, I just said two different ways. Make it is important and highlight the point. Monotonous preaching often put people to sleep. You know this very well. Some people sleep no matter what. You can shout all you want. They will sit there and have a nice nap. At the end, they will say, Amen. Many preachers either will look on the Bible. Well, look at eye contact. When I'm standing here, if you are preaching from anybody, make sure you look around everybody. Make eye contacts. That's very important. So the audience to hear you, they will listen to you. At least they know, hey, he's looking at me now. So make eye contact with everyone, generally speaking. I used not to do it. You know who corrected me all the time? Well, you know who it is. I go home and hear about it. So I changed. I turn my eyes around, my face around, I look at people and make eye contact with people. Okay? Now here's another problem. Some others will look at one or two people, and I'm standing here for 35 minutes, I'm preaching to Amar and his wife, only looking at them, and the rest of the crowd won't matter to me. Don't just look at two people. Or some people will just stare at one person, and he may be thinking, this man is preaching to me. Some practical suggestions, some don'ts and do. Oh my goodness, my time is up. Self-examination, I'm breaking my rule here. Self-examination, quickly. How does this message relate to me? When you prepare, when you're ready to preach, think about yourself. How can it be? How can this relate to myself? Pray during preparation, before and after a message. Ask yourself, am I willing to apply this message in my own life? That's where you should start. Some people are not teachable, but they will teach others. Have you come across people like that? Yes? I know you want to raise your hand, don't do it. But use tools such as PowerPoint, etc., if necessary, what I'm doing right now. Some don'ts, quickly. Actually, this is the most important part I wanted to say. Do not speak indirectly to a person in audience. I have something against Brother Houghton here in my mind, and I go home and prepare a message. Come here and preach. And who am I preaching to? Him. Don't preach directly to one person if you have something against or for him. Do not attack another person or a ministry indirectly. While I am here, I have no business to talk about CMML and complain about them. That's not what the Lord put you there for. Do not be monotonous in your presentation. Do not shout at the audience. Well, higher volume is okay. Higher volume is okay. But don't shout at them. You know what I mean? You have to go to Pentecostal to hear that. Do not say, I am not ready. I don't know how many times you have heard people come up to the pulpit and say, you know what, I am not ready. I'm just doing it because I was asked to do it. 95% of the people turned you off the moment you say that. Even if you are not ready, don't go up there and confess it. Do not say, I will just say something. Hey, I'm not ready, but I'm going to say something. This is not the place to say something. You must be prepared. Pray. Preparation by the help of the Holy Spirit. Power with 100% to preach. I know I have been to places where brothers will get up after the worship meeting. Everybody will look around. Nobody is prepared. One person will get up and say, okay, nobody is getting up, so I'm going to say something. I have heard it. I don't know if you heard it or not, but this will turn the audience off. Don't make the audience pity on you. Don't come up here and say things like what I just said. Let them feel pity on you. You know what happens? They will feel pity on you for 45 minutes and go home. And nothing will happen. You must be prepared to say, thus saith the Lord. Okay. Now the most important thing to remember in the message. When you prepare and deliver a message, the end. My message is over, but I want to point one thing. Some people will start preaching and you don't know whether he will finish the message or not. 45 minutes is over, he will say, okay, well, let's close in prayer. Message is not finished. It did not end. Have a conclusion. Have a reminder of what you just spoke. Highlight the points so people will remember them. Have a closing of the message. Don't just leave it loose for people to judge. Again, I have come across this such. Close it. Have an end of the message. And that's the end of my lesson for today. Our Father, we thank you this morning. These are simple, practical applications in life. We pray for all of us to be prepared and serious about the things of God, especially as we try to serve you in the days to come. May this be a blessing to all of us, that we may be useful tools in your hand for your glory and honor. Bless thy people. The need of everyone is different. Many traveling, many will be traveling this week. We pray for thy blessing upon them. We give you thanks. Thank you for hearing your prayers. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Two things. I'm going to be traveling, my and Molly will be traveling Tuesday morning to Atlanta on a babysitting mission. So please pray for me. We are on the road for all day. We are gone for 2 weeks. You notice these two holes here. There are two suggestions. One is to cover with a nice picture frame, cover the hole. And I don't mind if you put my picture there, but that's but that's not the point. Another suggestion is to finish it up inside, put a couple of nice flowers. So if you have another thought, please send the information to somebody, okay? Thank you.